There's about 6 to 9 of us who go out to eat breakfast on Thursday mornings, and when we go, they know exactly what I'm going to order. I've only ordered it for like 2 or 3 years in a row. 2 eggs scrambled, 2 sausage patties, home fries, a biscuit, a side of gravy, and a sweet tea. That's it. Now let me tell you something. If I order a biscuit, I want my biscuit soft. Hard biscuits aren't good. Hard water is not good to wash clothes in. It takes a lot more detergent in order to get clothes to be clean. Folks, if you ever find a hardened tree, hardened so hard that it is petrified, it is no good for firewood, don't even try. And plastic, once it is hard, is brittle and easily breaks, doesn't it? Folks, there's another object. An object that is an asset, an object that is extremely valuable to man, but it can create extreme trouble if it ever becomes hard, and it is the heart of man. For the next few moments, I want us to talk about this subject, the tragedy of a hardened heart. There's only 3 points that we have in our lesson this morning. Let's begin by discussing the concept of the heart. Did you know that every man, woman, and child has 2 hearts? We have our physical heart that's located almost in the very center of our being, and it is responsible for the circulation of all of the blood and oxygen that is contained within our bodies, a valuable asset. But there is another heart, and it is referred to as the spiritual heart of man. It is invisible. It is not tangible. There is absolutely no way that you and I can go in and manipulate it physically because it is a spiritual entity. It is not the brain. I know it's not the brain because one of these days I'm going to die. And when I die, you could cut my head open, and guess what you would still see there? A brain. But folks, my mind would have departed from that brain, wouldn't it? You see, the spiritual heart is the control center, the command center of everything that you and I do, everything that we think, everything that we say, everything that we behave in. All goes back to the heart. You see, it involves the will. It involves the reasoning of man, the understanding of man. It involves the motives of man, the emotions of man. And watch that last one. The heart of man is what is responsible for all of our spiritual responses. How do we know that? Because of what the Bible teaches about the heart. Genesis 6 verse 5. Tim talked about this verse just last Wednesday. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Notice how the heart is described. The thoughts of his heart. The heart thinks. We find on another occasion in the life of Jesus, Luke 5 verse 22, that Jesus read the thoughts of his apostles. He perceived their thoughts, the Bible says. And notice the question that he asked. Why reason ye in your hearts? You see, it is the heart of man that reasons. It gathers the evidence. It looks at the evidence. It ponders the evidence. It weighs the evidence and makes conclusions based upon the evidences that are presented to it. We find another verse, John 14, verse 1, Jesus told his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me," he says. Notice what he says, "Let not your heart be what? Let not your heart be troubled." You see, it is the heart that controls the emotions of man. The heart causes us to be joyful, or the heart causes us to be grieved. And on this occasion, Jesus is exhorting His disciples, even though I'm leaving, don't let your hearts be troubled by that. So again, the heart is the control center of mankind. Let's look for just a minute about the heart's responsibility in the salvation process. You see, the heart's important in our spiritual lives. Notice first, it is with our hearts that you and I are to love the Almighty God. Jesus said that this is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Secondly, God uses His Word in order to prick the hearts of men. You see, God wants to open our heart so that He can enter therein. On the day of Pentecost, Peter arose with the other 12 and began to preach the precious gospel of Christ. He confronted them of their sin of having murdered the Christ. He confronted them with the resurrection of Jesus. And the Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they cried unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 2 verse 37. You see, God wants to take His Word and open up our hearts, and He does it by pricking the heart. Notice too, that belief begins in the heart, doesn't it? That old Ethiopian eunuch was taught by Philip the gospel of Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest, listen to him, with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Acts 8, 36 and 37. Folks, belief begins in the heart of mankind. The evidences of Jesus' deity is presented to us. We weigh that evidence and we either believe it or we reject it. And if we're going to be saved, if we're going to be in a right relationship with God, we must have a full heart of faith in the Christ as God's Son. But notice too, and we made this point a couple of weeks ago, that our obedience has to come from the heart. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. There have been many individuals who have obeyed the gospel, at least outwardly, and yet their hearts were not there. They didn't do it for the right reason. You see, in order to be pleasing to God, from the heart, I obey the gospel of Christ. If there were an asset that we would say is extremely valuable to man, folks, listen to me, it's your heart, especially if you desire to be saved. But notice the hardened heart. Remember a while ago we made mention of the fact that God's Word is powerful enough to hit the human heart, to prick it, and to open it. God then enters in with His Word, and what He desires of us is what we might refer to as a faith response. And when you and I respond in faith, totally and completely to God's will, then and only then are we brought into a saving relationship with God the Father. But if the heart of man is hard, that will never happen. Think about that. My heart can become so hardened that not even the powerful Word of God can enter into it and bring me into a saving relationship with the Almighty God. The Bible warns about the hardening of our hearts. Go to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, and the entire chapter, Paul makes mention of the Jews during the wilderness wanderings, and he uses that as an example for his readers. And 3 times in that chapter, he warns about hardening the heart. Hebrews 3:8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the wilderness. We jump down to verse 13 and he exhorts them again. He says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. 2 more verses. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Over and over and over again, the inspired writer is saying, don't do what those Jews did. Don't harden your hearts to the will of the Almighty God. My friends, it's possible. And the question that we might ask is this. What is the hardening process? Folks, I want you to listen. If you don't get anything else, you listen to what I'm talking about. First step in the hardening process is to hear the Word of God. Isn't that something? That's the first step. And it doesn't matter how you hear the Word of God. It can be through a preacher. It can be through a teacher. It can be through your parents. It might be from a friend, from a neighbor, from a coworker. It might be that you're reading a book that proclaims the Word of God. It might be that you're listening to a CD. You might look on the computer. You may hear the television. You might hear a lesson on the radio. It doesn't matter how you hear. The first step in the hardening process is hearing God's Word. The second step, the person rejects God's Word. Now, when we use that little word reject, sometimes we think of a person who steps up in bold, obstinate opposition to God's Word, don't we? He rejects the Word of God. Folks, it doesn't have to be like that. When I talk about a person rejecting the Word, I'm talking about just turning a deaf ear to it. Just acting as if, it's really not that important. Yes, I could apply this, but, you know, I can do that later. It's not being an atheist and taking a bold stand against God. We can reject the Word by just simply turning around and walking away from it, can't we? When a person rejects the Word, he may be a person who just doesn't believe the facts. The Bible says that Jesus is the Son of the living God. I can present to you some 8 or 9 facts that would prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But you can just reject the facts. Nah, I don't care what it says. I don't care what the facts are. I just don't believe that. Or a person can fail to embrace the promises. You see, God gives a lot of promises in the pages of His Word, doesn't He? And an individual can just say, you know, I really just don't believe in that promise. I really don't think that God is going to fulfill what He says He's going to fulfill. Or a third way to reject the Word is to fail to comply with the commands of the Almighty God. This is what God says do. This is what He has authorized to be done. And an individual just does not do that. And folks, that's a rejection of the Word of God. And it is the second step in the hardening of the heart. I hear God's Word, and then what do? I reject it for whatever reason I desire. Folks, the heart begins to harden the very minute I reject the truth. The very minute. Now, there are other factors that can be involved in my life that can hurry up the hardening process. And there's a lot of them. Notice them. Pride, false teaching. In other words, things that I've been taught that are not in harmony with the will of God, that for some reason will not allow me to accept God's word. Sin in my life. Maybe I'm facing some disappointments. Maybe it's a disappointment in an individual. Maybe I am struggling with this world's trials and tribulations. Or maybe it's just evil influences. Oh, I come to church. And when I'm here, I feel good. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I hear the Word of God. Yes, that's what I should do. I need to be doing that. I go home and I'm around individuals who talk to me and influence me to do something different than what God really wants me to do. Folks, all of those kind of things just hurry the hardening process along. Now notice this. The more times I hear God's word and reject it, the harder and harder and harder my heart becomes. There's a saying that says this, the same sun that melts wax hardens clay. What is the purpose of God's word? The purpose of God's word is to soften my heart. The purpose of God's word is to prick my heart. The purpose of God's word is to get into my heart and to begin to mold it and to develop it into the will of God. But that same word, if I continue to rebel against it, if I continue to ignore it and reject it, will just make my heart harder and harder and harder. Folks, there's people who have heard the Word of God for years and years. They've heard it so much that their ears are dull of hearing. Aren't they? Notice too, their hearts manifest less emotion. When you're first convicted of sin and iniquity, oh, sometimes our emotions overwhelm us, don't they? Can you imagine David when he was first convicted of his sin by Nathan? Thou art the man, and how overcome he must have been because of that. But what if David had just turned a deaf ear to Nathan? And Nathan continued to come day after day. David, you're the man. David, you're the one that's in sin. David, you're the one who's transgressed the will of God. David, you're the one who needs to make this right. And David just continued to reject and reject and reject. Folks, he'd have just looked and said, there comes Nathan. He's going to tell me I'm wrong. Oh, well. He'll listen to him for a few minutes, send him on his way. Absolutely nothing. And folks, finally, the person lacks conviction that leads to a faith that can save him. That's the hard heart, isn't it? Dull hearing. Little emotion and no conviction that will move one to possess saving faith. Folks, that is a scary place to be in an individual's life. It's for that reason that in the pages of God's Word, we are told over and over and over again that we have to be the guardians of our own hearts. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23, notice what the Bible says. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart, guard your heart, set a boundary around your heart. Folks, I am the one who is responsible for that. We turn to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And that chapter talks a lot about the heart. In verse 7, it tells us this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, that heart is the control center. But notice what he says there in verse 12. Apply thine heart unto wisdom, and thine ears unto the word of knowledge. I find it interesting that hearing and heart are tied together in the verse, aren't they? See, that's how important it is. Hear, listen, be attentive, and then do what? Make certain you apply the things that you hear. We go just a little bit further in the chapter, verse 29, and notice what the text says. Hear thou, my son, and what? Be wise. Guide thine heart in the way. Folks, did you hear what he's saying? Keep your heart. Apply your heart. Guide your heart. I am the one responsible for my heart. I cannot control your heart. Only you can do that. I can beg, I can plead, I can teach, I can preach, I can do whatever I can do. But folks, your heart is under your control. There's been a lot of people in times past who developed hard hearts. We could spend an entire lesson, couldn't we, just talking about them. Probably the best known example is a man by the name of Pharaoh. One of the most powerful prophets who ever lived on earth, a man by the name of Moses, confronted the most powerful man in the world at the time and told him 10 times, "Let my people go." And 10 times he refused. The Bible tells us, in Exodus chapter 8, verse 15, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. We find another man, or a group of individuals, the Jews in the wilderness. We talked about them just a moment ago. They leave the land of Egypt. They get out into the wilderness. God commands them to do this. God commands them to do that. He ultimately commands them to enter into the promised land and overtake it. And yet, because of unbelief, they refuse, don't they? And a whole generation of Jews died in the wilderness because of the hardness of heart. King Saul, we talked about him in Bible class. God told him exactly what he wanted him to do. Specific commands. And yet for some reason, he rebelled against God. Not on one occasion, but at least on 2 occasions, he rebelled against God. God, I don't care what you said. I'm going to do it my way. Write this passage down, Mark 6, verse 52, because Jesus asked his disciples, "Are your hearts hardened?" Folks, even good people, men like the disciples, men like the apostles, can have their hearts hardened if they refuse to accept the teachings of Jesus Christ. What about the Jews to whom Stephen spoke? In Acts the 7th chapter, he confronted those men with these words, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." Notice he says you're resisting what? The Holy Ghost. Stephen was inspired by the Holy Ghost. Stephen was preaching the Word of God by means of the Holy Spirit. And they were refusing to hear His words. And He called them stiff-necked in heart and ears. It's possible to harden your heart, folks. Point number 3. The tragedy of a hardened heart. Number 1. Missed opportunities. I bet every one of us in this audience can talk about some opportunities that we've missed in times past, haven't we? Maybe it was a great business deal. Maybe it was an investment that had we invested in it, we could be rich beyond our means right now. Maybe we failed to take advantage of a network of individuals who could have bolstered our business. Or maybe we just failed to take an opportunity to develop a friendship with somebody who could have radically changed our lives. We look back on those opportunities and we just hate it, don't we? And yet now, there's nothing I can do. Can you imagine standing before the judgment seat of Christ and being able to reflect back on all the opportunities that you've been given to obey the gospel and you didn't? Paul and Barnabas were on their first missionary journey in Acts 13:46. Every time they went into a city, the first place they went was to a synagogue and preached to the Jews, because God had commanded that the Jews hear the Word of God first. The Bible says, and Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the gospel should be first preached unto you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Opportunity gone. It's tragic, isn't it? Notice the second one. Did you know that you can harden your heart to such a point that you will never repent and you will never enter into a saving relationship with the Almighty God? That's unbelievable, isn't it? You reach a point where your heart is so hardened that you will never obey. Oh, Vic, that couldn't happen. The writer of Hebrews says that it can. Notice how he begins in Hebrews 4, verse 6. For it is, look at that word, impossible. It is impossible. Now, he's talking about individuals who had already become Christians. People that were once enlightened. Tasted the Holy Spirit. Tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come. He says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance. It is impossible for some, if they fall away, to ever renew them again to repentance. Folks, their hearts are so hard, they will never obey the truth. Never. Tragedy. Number three, the tragedy of a lost soul. I want you to listen to these words. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Can you imagine hearing those words from the mouth of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I don't know who you are. You're not mine. You don't belong to me. You're a worker of iniquity. Depart from me. A tragedy. And number four, eternal regret. In Luke the 16th chapter, two men die, don't they? A rich man and a poor man. The poor beggar, he enters into Abraham's bosom. He's in a place of comfort. The rich man dies. The Bible says that this rich man sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He's tormented in the flames of the Hadean realm and he cries out unto Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou thy good things and Lazarus evil things. Folks, in the hereafter, whether it be in the Hadean realm of torments or whether it be in the eternal flames of hell, the one thing that all there will have is the ability to remember. I heard it on that Sunday. I remember Vic's lesson on the hardened heart. I remember that Bible class where they talked about the steps of the gospel plan of salvation. I remember when they told me that false doctrine won't save me. I remember. Notice how we have defined this point. Eternal regret. Can you imagine? Every moment you're suffering in hell, you can remember what could have been. Folks, our heart is one of the most beneficial assets that you and I have, especially in the salvation process. If our hearts are good and if our hearts are honest, then you and I will be saved and we'll produce fruit unto God. Notice what Jesus says. But they on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruits. Folks, the good and honest heart hears the word, keeps it, brings forth fruit. But if we fail to guide our heart, if we fail to govern our heart, if we fail to make certain that we put a guard around our heart, they can become hard. So hardened that we miss every opportunity to be saved. So hard that we can reach a point that we will never be saved. Can you imagine a person attending a church 40 or 50 years and never being saved? Never. And how do they die? They die in a lost condition. I never knew you, Jesus says. And once there, they will always remember forever and ever and ever. There'll be some people who'll leave this building today, and guess what you'll do? You'll take another step in the hardening process. You know what needs to be done. You know where your life is not right with God. You know where there needs to be made corrections. You know what God's Word says. And we turn and leave with no response. Just another layer of hardness on the heart of man. My friends, the decision's yours. The Bible's simple when it comes to salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible is simple when it comes to how we're to live our Christian lives. Faithfully, aren't we? Do you need to repent? Do you need to ask God to forgive you? Do you need to obey the gospel? Don't harden your heart another day. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.